Good morning, delegates. I wish to call this meeting to order. Good morning, interpreters.
Good morning, sir.
I hope you had a very good evening after the reception cuts by WHO, and that you are now in a position to continue the deliberations from yesterday. I wish to recognize the coordinator for Asia, who wasn't with us here. Welcome. We are going to move on to agenda item number 5. Agenda item number 5 is on the study on the speed of the Codex standard setting process and work management approaches of Codex committees and task forces. Many of you will recall the discussions that we had in the last executive committee meeting and the recommendations that we made for further analysis of the work that had been presented by the Secretariat. This morning, we are going to consider further work and analysis that has been prepared for us by the Codex Secretariat, whom I'll call upon shortly. But while discussing the study of the speed, we shall also go back to Section 3.4 of the strategic plan to analyze the work management approaches that facilitate advancement of texts in the Codex process. And we shall probably go committee by committee and make recommendation to the Commission on that effect. May I therefore request Secretariat to introduce the analysis of the speed of the Codex standard setting process. Secretariat, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. You will see that this document is a very different document than from the document we presented last year, which was a purely, more or less, let's say, numerical analysis, taking all the work that was started over the last 15 years and following it through the step procedure and seeing how many years it took to either adopt it or to finally sometimes come to the conclusion to discontinue it. You will find in the annex to the document that has been presented now the table that has been used to produce the results of the last study, because that was one request which we had received to show this table as well. So this is the table that we used to produce the results of the speed in the last document, where we came up with an average speed of 4.2 years for all standards and 3.5 for food safety standards. One of the things that we had not done at that point was to look at these standards, the committee setting numerical standards. It took a bit of time to prepare this document. It was a joint effort of all members, really, of the Secretariat, all secretaries of the different committees who contributed for their relevant committees. It is thus quite complete and quite extensive. It contains in the second part, in the concerning the committee's setting numerical standards, an analysis of how they work and how the maximum residue limits or maximum limits move through the procedure, and how also is the interaction with the scientific advice. As the chair has already said, we felt that it was appropriate to include in this document also the analysis on work management approaches, as was specified in the activity 3.4 of the strategic plan. So we have included for all other committees those in the last part of the document. So if you want to go committee by committee, we can do that once we get into the discussion. Basically, as a summary, we have, as you know, four committees setting numerical standards, and they have all developed risk analysis principles, which also in this case define the interaction with a relevant scientific body. And work in the committees usually only starts when the scientific advice is available. In this case, usually the work moves rapidly through the step procedure, and in the ideal case, this can take even less than 1 year. So of all the other committees, only the CCFH, the Committee on Food Hygiene, has established a specific process to better manage its workload, and uses this process since 2005, and has also found that quite useful in managing its huge workload. Our conclusions, overall conclusions, if that can be done in the diverse nature of Codex work, is that with the exception of some specific cases where consensus has not been achieved for reasons which are, in our opinion, not related to work management but to the nature of the subject, work in Codex has been progressing quite satisfactory, and all committees make ample use of the possibility to hold physical or electronic working groups and other methods to facilitate the consensus. Maybe in some cases, we don't know, more resources for scientific could in some cases decrease the delay with which work can be taken up by a committee, but that's also very complex to be seen, because sometimes it's not the resources of the scientific advice that is missing, but also it's a certain amount of time needed to get the data and everything. So the reasons why we analyzed, also in many cases, the reasons why the work takes longer than the average time to finalize, and in many cases this can be due to the complexity of documents or diversification of national regulations, which then results in the difficulty of finding a consensus. The implementation of the critical review and the development of risk analysis, specific risk analysis principles, have allowed committees to use a more systematic approach to how they manage their work. And we feel that they're probably a little bit more experienced also with the function of the executive committee in the critical review. A bit more experience is necessary to see how this will affect the overall speed of work in Codex. But we do feel that, and it has been mentioned before also by Mr. Traore, that it could be useful to have like a table in some form, not in the form that it was annexed maybe to this document, because that's quite complicated to read, but in some form to show how what the status is in Codex, what the work status, how the documents move through the procedure, how the actual speed is at the moment. We could do that and present that on the website. We can have to think about it a little bit how to present it, but that's a possibility, so that the monitoring becomes a bit more of an ongoing process. I will stop here, and maybe then we can take some general comments before we move into the individual committees. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Secretariat. The floor is now open for general comments on what has been presented by the Secretary. Member for North America.
Near East.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I do want to thank the Secretariat for this very detailed document. I think it's going to be very helpful and a useful start to looking at a problem that I think Codex has been concerned about for some time, and that is the difficulty or the time it takes to put standards through, or at least the perception of the time it takes to put standards through. And I think one of the things that this does is it shows that it is uneven, and there are many, many standards that move very quickly, others that take longer. I unfortunately, I think many of us perhaps have not had as much time as we would have liked to have had to digest everything that's in here. Because I believe we received this document last week. But I would just say that I think the next step should be looking more completely at what are the good practices, what are the practices that are working in committees, and why, and to go a little deeper into the analysis of why things work some places and don't work other places. I look forward to the Secretariat being able to provide some leadership on this, being in the best position to do so. I think that's what's going to be very useful, both to the perception of how Codex works, but more importantly, to how Codex actually works. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member for North America. Any further comments? Member for Africa.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, colleagues. I wish to echo the previous speaker in commending the Secretariat for this excellent and detailed work. I also believe that this is an excellent starting point and will enable us to understand the operation of the different committees, and will enable us to look at moving further towards the objective we established. In other words, to adopt standards as quickly as possible, because as I recall, one of our concerns involved seeing how we could adopt standards and how the Codex could operate in this regard alongside private standards. This was a concern particularly for a number of developing countries. My read of this document is enables me to draw a somewhat mixed set of conclusions, because we have seen some standards being adopted very speedily, others have taken far more time. However, I think that, as my colleague said, we can make progress by exchanging experiences between us and looking at the different approaches which are used. For example, speeding through certain stages of the standard setting progress. This will enable us also to look at certain limiting factors. We sometimes find ourselves in a blockage situation as a result of an absence of data in certain circumstances. Either that the data is entirely unavailable, or the experts are not in a position to meet because of a lack of resources. In some cases, we also see that scientific experts and the committees involved find themselves with a very long, drawn-out time period for standard setting. So there are a number of factors here which we might be able to work on with a view to improving our working methods to enable us to speed up the standard setting process. The report concludes that in general the standard setting process is satisfactory, but we must recognise the fact that we do need to work more quickly if we do want to satisfy the needs of our member countries. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Member for Africa. Member for Near East, please.
Shukran, Azid Bhai.
Thank you, Chair. I also would like to thank the Secretariat for preparing this report on the study and the analysis of how standards were adopted in the various committees is extremely useful, especially in areas of the work of some of the important committees. However, I have the following remarks to make. First, it is important to urge the committees of Codex to adopt specific measures for risk analysis and for the organization of its work. Second, it is important to encourage member states to accept the results of scientific research, scientific opinion, when there is disagreement on a specific issue. I believe accepting the views of the scientific panel would lead to an acceleration of the adoption of standards. It is also important to urge member states which keep results of studies on veterinary medicine or veterinary treatments to share the outcomes of these studies with other member states. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member for Near East. I don't see other flags, so we need to move on. I think quite a number of useful issues have been raised, and that we need to focus and learn from the analysis, the practices that work, and also examine some of the practices that may require improvement if this committee decides to do that. We have also heard that we could explore some other additional measures in advancing the work of Codex, bearing in mind that this particular study was triggered by the concerns, especially from the private standards area, that Codex was slow. We have heard the conclusions from the Secretariat of some of the factors that come into play as far as different speeds for different committees are concerned. We would now like to move on to examine committee by committee and be able to look at their practices, their work management approaches, as far as elaboration of standards are concerned. And I would request this committee to make recommendations as appropriate in order to move the Codex work forward. I also want to remind this committee, if we could look at the strategic plan activity 3.4, this activity is supposed to be completed. Actually, according to our strategic plan, it should have been completed in the year 2009, so that it can give way to the start or commencement of activity 3.5. So this is now the process which we are trying to undertake during this committee. And I would like now to call upon Secretariat once again to go committee by committee. We take note of their work management approaches. We pronounce ourselves on some of the conclusions, and we move forward to recommend to the Commission some of the best practices that we may come up with. Secretariat, please, if you could go back to the document.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If you go to part two of the document, starting with the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food. So the work of this committee, as you know, includes the development of maximum limits for contaminants in foods based on the assessments performed by JECFA. And these standards, once adopted, are then published in the Codex Standard for Contaminants and Toxins in Foods and Feed. You will know that the committee also creates the development of codes to prevent contamination. This has, in this document, not been taken into account. That was included in the previous document as development of other codex texts. And there we have seen that the development of these codes usually takes between 2-3 years of time, which is not too worrying, and they have been moving quite quickly through the procedure. The should also be taken into account that previously the Food Additives Committee and the Contaminants Committee, that was a joint committee, it was split, so the Contaminants Committee as such is a relatively young, very young committee in Codex, working independently. The framework on which it works are the risk analysis principles applied by the Codex Committee on Food Additives and the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods, which are included in the procedure manual, and that defines the framework and the responsibilities of the Codex Committee and JECFA in this area. In general, the speed in this committee can be quite fast. In some instances, the relevant work on the MLS has been completed within 1 to 2 sessions of the committee. In other cases, sometimes further advice is, if there's no consensus, further advice may be sought by the committee from JECFA, and then it may take longer to complete because there's an additional session of JECFA necessary to complete the work. I don't know if maybe my colleague from FAO wants to say anything on this committee to complete. Thank you very much.
The only comment will be that it's a good practice. One of the talking about, pardon, Espanol.
Back into Spanish. The only comment I'd have to make would be the following. In terms of good practice followed over recent years, one of these has been for the JECFA and FAO's secretariats, as well as WHO's secretariat, to participate in the Committee on Veterinary Drugs in what we call the Priority Working Group. And of course, they will participate in the sessions as well. That's the first point of contact. And this is something that we've been focusing on right now when we talk about the priorities of this committee. We also look here as part of this at the scientific advice that is going to be needed and the time frame in which this scientific advice will be required. the outcome of this has been a greater degree of planning, and both FAO and WHO have the same systems for budget preparation in place. This has enabled us to carry on our work in a more predictable way. Another point I believe we will need to bear in mind in terms of making reports available as indicators would be to review the internal report authorization procedures within JECFA. Within FAO and WHO, at an internal level, there is a need for us to go through an authorization process which has different time frames within the two organisations. A number of colleagues in WHO are making efforts to cut the time for authorization of reports within this process. And in a number of cases, at least as far as the monographs are concerned, the monographs which are published for additives and veterinary drug residues, for those types of reports, we have been able to cut the time for authorization. We are working on that further to ensure that the final report from a meeting can be published more quickly. But to sum up, I would say that it is very important to have this first point of contact, as I mentioned, to establish what priorities are.
Thank you very much, Secretariat and FAO. And we have comments from the floor, and I recognize the flag of Advisor North America.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, actually, the report as presented by the Secretariat notes a number of good observations related to the way this committee works. Perhaps, actually, I wanted to share with our committee, having been a member myself of CCCF and having seen, actually, the progress of this committee since its inception, you know, share a few insights as to why perhaps this committee could be considered amongst those that may present good and best practices to draw from. Definitely building on what was mentioned by the representative of FAO, the key element of scientific expertise and the availability of scientific expertise is definitely a critical piece enabling this committee to do its work. And perhaps the good practice to retain here is a good prioritization exercise that is conducted clearly with the involvement of the JECFA Secretariat, to ensure that those priorities are clearly set to inform the standard development according to the priorities of the committee itself, which actually resulted in a lot of instances of the availability of the scientific advice required every time a standard or a code of practice was under development. In some instances, actually, the committee also used more creative ways to have that scientific advice being made available, and perhaps the case of melamine could be cited, where essentially the scientific expertise was provided beyond the process of JECFA, but using exactly the same type of process with the contribution of other member countries that supported the availability of that scientific advice in a rapid manner, which served definitely the standard development by itself and probably could be considered as the critical piece that enabled the standard to move in such a short period of time. Another element that I believe is worth mentioning is the fact that this committee, since its inception, and perhaps, you know, being a young committee, helped the committee really adhere very strictly to the risk analysis principle on the basis of which these standards are developed. So whenever there was divergence of opinions, in a lot of instances, the committee resorted back to remind its members of the strict adherence to the risk analysis principles and also the Codex mandate. Again, back to the Codex mandate about, you know, the protection of consumers' health and ensuring that those standards help fair practices of trade, of food trade. I believe, again, that the contribution of the various chairs that led the committee's work were as well critical and helped really get the committee members to get to the consensus needed. And there was also willingness on the part of the various committee members consensus in order to advance those standards to the appropriate completion. So in its actually really young period of time, the committee was able to complete a number of standards that were on the agenda of CCFAC, the previous committee, for a number of years, in a very short period of time, and take on new work that represents an interest in terms of managing emerging contaminants in food. So I think those are the key pieces that I wanted to share with our committee, and perhaps, again, we could draw on those best practices and maybe disseminate that through throughout other committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Advisor, North America. FAO, please.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to refer what has just been said and confirm indeed that FAO and WHO do have a mechanism making it possible to hold meetings of experts in a speedy way, as for melanine. And we're also using new means, setting up groups through electronic means, so electronic groups. Thanks.
Thank you very much. For I don't see further flags, but it's important to note from that chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following on from the very well-informed comments of the advisor for North America, I just would make one observation to this committee, and that is that it has been a core principle of Codex that we accept scientific advice through the bodies jointly administered by FAO and WHO, generally for our committees, JECFA, GEMRA, JMPR. In the case of melamine, I believe that scientific advice was provided by a WHO expert group, which WHO FAO expert group, not formally a JECFA, JMPR, or GEMRA exercise, but nonetheless a function of FAO and WHO. And I think there's an important principle there in that while we should be flexible to be able to accept scientific advice when necessary outside of JECFA, JMPR, and GEMRA, that scientific advice nonetheless needs to come through, at a minimum, FAO and WHO. I think those organizations provide the oversight and ensure the independence of the scientific advice that is absolutely critical to the solid scientific foundation of Codex standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So, indeed, as observed by members, there were some very good points that were mentioned by the advisor, North America. I captured five of them, which we need to mention here The first one was the timely availability of scientific data, and in this regard, one, the availability of scientific expertise, two, was the prioritization exercise with JECFA to inform standards development of the committee. We had the third one, which was using other sources of scientific data within the framework of JECFA, and now the FAO-WHO expert meetings. It was also mentioned that the need to adhere strictly on risk analysis principles for standards development and codex mandate is very important. And lastly, the chairs have a role to play, especially in trying to achieve consensus during standards development. So those were very good points that this committee may wish to recommend to the Commission for adoption as some of the practices for the process and work management approaches by the committees. That coordinator for Africa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I fully endorse the issues that have been raised on the matters that we are considering. That is the availability of scientific advice, scientific experts, the role of the chair, consensus building, and so on. But there is something that is also in this report, small as it is, but I think important in determining the outcome of a lot of these. And this is on the nature of the subject and also other factors that may not be in the control of the committee. And in one of the committees which we will come to, it talks about national either positions. I want to add interests or national laws or regulations. I would like to put interest also. That is not under the control of the members as we meet to discuss these things. And we may need, as we move forward, to look at how we bring this also under control, even though it is not under our control. It influences the outcome. After all the scientific advice has been given and all the facts has been given, we may, for one reason or the other, decide that there are other factors not within our control. And I would like us to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Africa. We shall come back to that. I'd like us to not that flag there. I'd like us now to move to the Codex Committee on Food Additives. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The Codex Committee on Food Additives, as you know, focuses on the development and completion of the general standard for food additives. That is the main part of its work. There is also GSFA-related work, like JECFA recommendations, specifications for food additives, revision of the food category system, revisions and additions to the international numbering system for food additives, and integration of food additives provisions of commodity standards into the GSFA, plus additional work that has been done on flavorings, processing aids, and there's also consideration of the revision of the standard for food grade salt in that committee. So the bulk of the work is the completion of the general standard for food additives, and based on the procedures that are contained in the procedure manual, the procedures for consideration of the entry and review of food additives provisions in the general standard for food additives, the committee considers only food additives that have been assigned an acceptable daily intake or determined on the basis of other criteria to be safe by JECFA, and then have an international numbering system designation by Codex, only those will be considered for inclusion in the GSFA. The committee also has developed, at the time when it was still a joint committee with the Contaminants Committee, risk analysis principles, on the basis of which it organizes its work together with JECFA. The CCFA works very strongly with working groups that prepare the committee. There is preliminary work on the provisions by an electronic working group that prepares recommendations for the adoption, revocation or discontinuation, or request for further information. And these recommendations done by the electronic working group are then circulated for comments and considered by a physical working group, which meets immediately prior to the session of the committee. So the physical working group discusses the recommendations and prepares proposals for the plenary. It's said, though, that in recent years the physical working group could not progress at the same speed as the electronic working group, and this has led to decreased work assigned to the electronic working group. In the following, you see the progress that the CCFA has made. So for the CCFA, it is not so much that it's working on the inclusion of new provisions for new food additives in the standard. This is not encouraged because there's a huge backlog of work to be done. And you see the expectations on how the CCFA and the history on how it has progressed on the work on this GSFA over the last years, and you see the amount of provisions that actually have been discussed in that committee. I will stop here for the moment. If there's any addition from FAO, maybe we can have that now. Otherwise, we go directly to comments from countries. Thank you.
Just to say, Chairman, that here, once again, it has been an outstanding practice that Secretariat of JECFA should participate in priority analysis and on the need for scientific advice. Now, on additives, the recommendations from JECFA are practically all accepted immediately by our committee. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. Clearly, there is a concern there that there is a lot of backlog within the Codex Committee on Food Additives. The committee is not encouraging inclusion of new provisions. But we have also heard that as far as the process and work management approaches are concerned, food additives encourage use of electronic working groups, which make comments, and then a physical working group is normally held prior to the actual session. That notwithstanding, there is a backlog of work in the Codex Committee on Food Additives. Can we have some comments and proposals for this committee? Member Southwest Pacific.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd also like to thank the Secretariat for getting our sign right so that there's no confusion about what region it is we represent. I also understand from our delegation to the Food Additives Committee that in terms of the backlog of provisions, that they made significant progress this year in that they reached agreement that provisions that there was no technological justification for the use of, they've decided that they wouldn't continue to consider those. It appears that a lot of additives or provisions may have been proposed many years ago by members that are probably no longer interested or for industries that have moved along technologically. And so in some respects they may have a backlog, but they are also looking at innovative ways of clearing that backlog. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Southwest Pacific. I think that's important not to make. Are there further comments on food additives? So this committee, we can only encourage them to continue looking at the work that they have. We recognize the various work management approaches that have been put in place recently to address the challenging work, and we encourage them to move on and also probably, as mentioned, review some of the work that have been affected by some of the technological advances that have come in place in recent years. Seeing no more flags, we move on to Codex Committee on Pesticide Residues. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Codex Committee on Pesticide Residues. The main task is the elaboration of maximum residue limits for pesticides in food and feed and extraneous maximum residue limits for environmental and industrial contaminants showing chemical or other similarity to pesticides in specific food items or groups of food. Above that, the committee also is responsible for methodology of sampling and analysis for determination of pesticide residues and for preparation of the priority list of pesticides for evaluation by JMPR. The committee also works in cooperation with the CCRVDF, the Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs and Foods, to make sure that harmonized MILs for compounds used as pesticides and veterinary drugs are established at the international level. And also working, committee is also working in coordination with the horizontal recommendations of the CCMAS, the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, in relation with the general methodology of sampling and methods of analysis to make sure that these are properly reflected in CCPR documents. Now, the committee uses the eight-step elaboration process and has developed risk analysis principles applied by the committee on pesticide residues. And this also includes a list of risk management policies used by the CCPR and criteria for the prioritization process of compounds for evaluation by JMPR. Now, the committee has organized its work together with the JMPR in a way that does allow adoption of MILs in a speedy way, and in most cases can be adopted in less than 1 year. The JMPR meeting in September, producing the risk assessment recommendations. These recommendations are immediately circulated at step three for comments and considered by the CCPR in April of the following year. And in 95 to 97% of the cases, if there are no concerns, They are sent directly to the Commission for Adoption at step 5.8. And that would really be one of the fastest processes in Codex. It is said, though, it takes, however, time from 2 to 5 years for national governments, in some cases, to produce the data for the relevant JMPR evaluation. So there can be a bit of a bottleneck there. The table gives an overview over what has happened in the last few years. The committee has been quite creative, let's say, in thinking about different ways to manage its work, because there was a lot of criticism, maybe also because that national governments were moving quickly and adopting some pesticide residues and then limits, and then it was difficult to change them. So there was the trial to use interim MILs, where a pilot project was done for the examination of national MILs to use as interim Codex MILs. In the end, though, it was shown that the current elaboration procedure could be used, especially with steps 5.8, using step 5.8, to move MILs quickly to the procedure. That was in the end not continued with the interim MILs. There is a new pilot project planned, for which I'm going to leave the floor to FAO to explain maybe a bit more about that, to have maybe building also on the experience of the interim MILs, to have maybe a more complete regional study, or maybe more study taking into account more diversity in what MILs have been done, in order to move even faster than the committee is moving now. But I give the floor to FAO to explain more about that. Thank you very much.
Señor presidente,
Thank you, Chair. I think that the delegates here on page 7 can see the objectives of this pilot test, which is trying out in an experimental fashion to see how it works in the committee. We do hope that we will be having some outcomes in the course of this year so that these can be discussed and we can determine whether there is a mechanism that could accelerate the work within this committee. But over and beyond that, there's not much I can add. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretariat. Thank you, FAO. Yesterday, we approved the pilot project, and we believe we shall be able to get the outcome through that approach and be able to decide whether this committee could recommend that approach in trying to come fairly quickly in getting MRLs as far as the pesticide residues committees is concerned. But I see the flag. Is it FAO? Is it Chair? FAO?
Señor Presidente, creo que...
Chairman, I think perhaps I made a mistake in what I said, because our advisor from Asia did take part in this work, and I think that the figure I mentioned perhaps is not the correct one. So if you allow, perhaps I could ask the advisor from Africa perhaps to tell us exactly when it'll be having the outcome, the results. I think it is pointed out in the document. I apologize, but can he have the floor?
Advisor for Asia.
And I apologize for my voice. It's terrible. Well, the result of the JMPR will be in 2011, not this year. And then, following year, the CCPR will discuss the recommendations from that JNPR. So the fastest, you know, if things go, then we'll see the result 2 years from now. So that's 2012 in summer. But if things do not go well, then it's later than that. So it's not this year or the next year, 2012 summer.
Thank you, Advisor for Asia. As I said, we have a document which has got those timelines, which we can get from there. The document which we of Newark, which we approved yesterday in this committee. Chair, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I note with interest in the discussion of the CCPR work approaches, the use, the introduction of the use of a concern form, which was introduced in 2006, in which country member delegations have concerns about advancing a particular MRL, that country, the delegation, is required to complete a concern form describing what the concern is and a description of the data that the delegation will submit to substantiate the concern within 1 month after the CCPR session. This seems to me a very interesting approach that might be considered by other committees that produce numerical standards, such as CCRVDF, even. At least that might be considered. And it might go at least part of the way, I will acknowledge probably not very far, but part of the way towards addressing some of the concerns that get raised by delegations, as suggested by the Coordinator for Africa, that become tangled up in regional issues of regional sensitivity. Sometimes those, as the Coordinator for Africa noted, are not at all scientific. Sometimes they are an unholy hybrid of science and policy. But the concern form might be one way to, at an early stage, begin to separate out, highlight, focus attention on issues that are likely to become problematic and perhaps even find solutions. So I would suggest that the Executive Committee think about recommending broader use of that approach. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Member for Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was actually going to raise the same point as our Chair. In our experience in CCPR, the concern form has been effective. It seems from reading the document that there seems to be a lot of similarities between the work of CCPR and the work of CCRVDF, but there doesn't seem to be very many similarities in how they have adopted their approaches, and I wonder if, when we get to the section on the Vet Drugs Committee, whether the Executive Committee could make some fairly strong recommendations that the Veterinary Drugs Committee looks at how CCPR has conducted its work over the last 5 years, and in particular, I think the introduction of the use of the concern form could at least be trialled by that committee for a certain period of time. I'll have some more comments when we get to the Vet Drugs Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Member for Southwest Pacific. Advisor Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ah, my voice is getting worse. The consent form used by the CCPR has been working very well. Original cause of creating this system was that some country may say no to certain MRLs. And then following year, this country may say no again without demonstrating the reason or the cause of their concern. So at the end, it was decided by the CCPR that whoever has the concern, and especially if it relates to scientific basis, then they can write up with some evidence or source of the concern. Then it will be sent to the JNPR for their consideration. And the JNPR considers concern form, sometimes just a sheet of paper, there was nothing they can do, but sometimes there was accompanying document or data even. Then the JNPR will do scientific evaluation and make whatever decision based on the science or scientific evidence. In that sense, it made things clearer and more transparent. And also, one country cannot say no only because of economic reason. So I think it works well, and perhaps it may work well with the area of CCRVD. However, I would say, as what was said by the chair, it may use the same term or a different term, but a similar thing can be adapted for some other areas where economic concern is the biggest issue. But just I wanted to make sure what this concern form in the CCPR can do and is aimed at. Thank you.
Thank you, Advisor for Asia. I think we have had some very good discussion on CCPR. We note the additional use of a consent form. And as one of the members of this committee has suggested, that we may wish to recommend that other committees that elaborate numerical standards examine its use for purposes of advancing their work. We note from the Advisor of Asia that this consent form, however, has a mechanism that needs to be followed if it has to be a useful tool for the committee. And therefore, other committees that may wish to adopt it may also wish to examine the mechanism for the use of a consent form or whatever name they may wish to call it. So thank you very much for those observations. We now move on to a relevant committee, and that is veterinary drugs in food. So very quickly, Secretariat on residues of veterinary drugs in food.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs in Food, we have to see, we talk about a completely different number of residues, obviously here, then when we talk about the GSFA or the CCFA or the pesticide residue committee, so the difficulties in that committee, as we have already heard, lie in a different area. The committee has also recently completed the development of guidelines for the design, implementation of national regulatory food safety assurance programs associated with the use of veterinary drugs in food-producing animals, which have produced previous text of the Code of Practice. The backlog in the committee at the moment is at a minimum. So at the next CCIVDF, they're only, and the CCIVDF 2010, will only consider two substances. However, there are a number of discussion papers for new work. So it is not the huge backlog of substances that is holding up some work there. And actually, usually in the committee, the substances also move in a fairly rapid way through the procedure, and many are progressed directly. Many recommendations coming out of JECFA are circulated at step 3 and directly progressed to step 5-8. Usually, if that is the case, then the work can be completed only in 2 or 3 years. So, just a moment. The committee has identified a number of factors that impact the speed of its work. And the first one is national legislation. And here we read that the delays in getting consensus are often caused by strong positions of Codex members wishing to use their national legislation as a base for Codex standards. And there the recommendation in this document even is a clearer adherence to the risk analysis principles applied by the Committee on Veterinary Drugs in Foods would allow a faster progress in the development of the Codex MILs. Sometimes there's a problem with the timing of the JECFA and CCRVDF meetings. Maybe I will refer to my colleagues from FAO and WHO on this, and availability of data, and the timely availability of JECFA report. My colleague from FAO already touched upon that previously. In the table below, you can see basically how the speed of work has been advancing over the last 9 to 10 years, and you've seen that the speed was actually not slow, but here obviously we have those cases which are problematic because of the reasons already mentioned before. But now I would like to turn over to my colleagues from JECFA, from FAO, WHO, to say more about the interaction with JECFA. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. For those who don't know me, I'm Angelika Tritscher. I'm the WHO JECFA and JMPR secretary. And apologies that I couldn't be here earlier. We have parallel another meeting on the 6th floor. So if I get a warning in time, I can just run down and explain things and help you in your decision-making process. So regarding the interaction between CCRVDF and JECFA, the timing of the meeting schedules is, we get a better handle on that in the sense that CCRVDF may go or is on a 2-year schedule rather than an 18-month. The problem is rather a different one, it seems, and allow me to be frank here. It seems that the JECFA, VetDrug and Codex system is not necessarily supported by interested parties who are the data owners. So there is an interest, for example, by countries to have compiled, hence the relevant data not submitted, which means then the JECFA cannot do an assessment and cannot do the work. Currently, there is no JECFA meeting planned to evaluate residues of veterinary drugs for the plain and simple fact that we do not have sufficient requests for assessments to allow holding a meeting. You have to have a critical minimum mass, so to speak, of requests that makes it possible to actually hold a meeting, that you then have sufficient expertise at hand to come to a consensus on a conclusion. That is the situation at the moment. I think I leave it with that.
Thank you very much, WHO. In the previous discussions with CCPR, there were some link to this particular committee. So we need to discuss, bearing in mind what we have already talked about. So floor is open for discussion. Member for North America, please.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to comment on or expand a little bit on things that have already been said. It's been noted that this committee does not have a very large backlog and that things move relatively quickly. However, the last intervention from WHO noted that the data frequently is not made available so that anybody can conduct an evaluation. And I do need to note this, that this committee is hampered greatly by the fact that the owners of the data, in this particular case, it's drug companies, are not interested in getting involved in this process if in fact, in the end, the science is not going to be followed. And that's just the straight facts here. And this committee, I think, would benefit greatly from advice on how to get past what was detailed in the report as the first factor, and that is national legislation, which is generally what is creating problems here. But this committee is hurt badly by not being able to move forward. There are only two things on the agenda. It doesn't mean there's only two possibilities out there for the agenda. There's many possibilities. It doesn't help Codex at all. It's very bad. It's bad for countries that need the MRLs. So this committee really does need to have some benefit of our thinking of how to address that problem that is a real factor in this committee not being able to do more work.
Thank you very much, Advisor North America. Are there any comments, further comments on this? We have a very challenging issue of national legislation hampering work, especially in this particular committee of residues in veterinary drugs in food. You have heard frank submissions from the two speakers. What does this committee recommend as a way forward? Advisor North America, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps actually we could actually direct a very clear recommendation to this committee, specifically to observe item 4 of the appendix to the procedural manual under the statements of principle concerning the role of science in the Codex decision-making process and the extent to which other factors are taken into account. And I quote what that paragraph says: when the situation arises that members of Codex agree on the necessary level of protection of public health but hold differing views about other considerations, members may abstain from acceptance of the relevant standard without necessarily preventing the decision by Codex. And this is already agreed upon in our procedural manual and could be essentially be an express recommendation that our committee could make to the Commission and therefore to the CCRVDF by itself. This is on page 180 of the procedural manual for those who would like to see the exact quote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That is a proposal from the member of the advisor for North America. I have comments on that proposal. Seems to be acceptable to this committee. WHO, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I would just like to point out that this is this proposal addresses only one of the problems that were just raised in the committee, and it does not address the problem of lack of data submission, so lack of support of the work by actual data owners. I am unfortunately at a lack to propose a solution to this because we've been struggling with this, but maybe if a recommendation would come through Codex itself to encourage or to maybe to CCRVDF to think about methods and ways to encourage data owners to submit the data, because the point is that WHO and FAO has no means to put any kind of pressure on data owners or encouragement to data owners to supply the data. This has to come from countries, from member states, from regulatory authorities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, WHO, but we have a challenge here. I think we heard from the member of North America of what the submission was, that the data owners would wish to submit the data, but if that scientific data is not going to be followed, then that causes a challenge. We hear from WHO that we, as member states, should encourage the data owners through our respective regulatory authorities to submit that data. So we have a challenge there that we need to reconcile, and would like to have drafted some way forward to see how that recommendation can go forward to the Commission. I seem to have seen a flag from North America. Yes?
Yes, I actually put it down again because I thought maybe your summary address. I just wanted to make the point that the certainly if we have ways to put pressure and encourage the data owners to present the information, I think that's good and we should do that. But I do believe that the failure of the committee to use the scientific information that has been provided in the past has led to the data owners not wanting to present more.
Okay. FAO, please.
Señor Presidente.
Mr. Chairman, this is very important. This is an essential factor. It would be appropriate if the Executive Committee could bring this to the Commission's attention also. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. I think by way of trying to capture some of the way forward for this particular committee, One is what we have already agreed, is to encourage this committee to look at the use of the consent form and see whether that is appropriate for their work. We already said that. Two is the submission from the Advisor for North America, found on page 108 of the procedure manual, and to ask CCRDF to adhere to that principle, item four. And the last one is to encourage the data owners submit data to this committee. And we need our member states through their respective regulatory authorities to encourage the data owners to submit this data to this committee. It has also been proposed that the same statement be echoed at the Commission. In other words, trying to urge member states to encourage data owners to submit this scientific data to this particular committee. So that's the summary for CCRF RVDF. Can we move on?
Coordinator for Africa.
Coordinator for Africa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following your summary, I'm just thinking, what will the Executive Committee do when it comes to the critical evaluation of these when it comes here? Will we have a set of criteria we will use as a committee in making sure that these steps have been followed before we make our recommendations to the Commission? Because the process starts, then nations are supposed to say something in the starting step five and step three in the accelerated procedure. So when the matter comes before Executive Committee, what will be the steps we will use to help us make sure that the recommendations we are making have followed these steps properly, so we don't, it doesn't go to the Commission and create some of the problems that sometimes happen. I think the Executive Committee has a role to play, and we may need to look at ourselves as a committee in the process and make it clearer.
Let's get clarification from Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The MRLs, for example, are coming to this committee for critical review at step 5 and at step 8. And from the point of view of the critical review, that was always acceptable from the point of view of the critical review because scientific advice had been provided. The process, we're looking at the process, we're not looking at the comments. So from the point of view of critical review, we're only looking at the process, not at the comments of country who would object for such and such reason to the content of a particular standard or to the actual level of the MRL. So from the point of view of the critical review, that was always agreed at the level of the Executive Committee in the case of such MRLs because the process had been adequately followed. So there was no, there was nothing, it was all fine from the point of view of the critical review because the Executive Committee does not look at the specific comments of the countries. That's something which goes only at the Commission. So looking at the process that we regularly do for all the MRLs. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Member for Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps just to build on what the Secretary has just said, perhaps we could also urge the chairs of committees, when they provide their comments for the critical review of standards under development, that they flag any issues at as early as possible in the standard setting process, so that we can perhaps recommend some measures that they might take at an earlier stage in their standards development. So perhaps that could be another conclusion from this discussion. I know it relates back to a different agenda item, but certainly I think we should be encouraging the chairs to note, when they provide comments to the critical review, that there may be issues further down the track, because I'm sure countries don't wait till the last minute to raise these types of concerns. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advisor Southwest Pacific. I think that is acceptable as part of our recommendation. Right, can we move on to, I see it's 11 o'clock, I need to be advised how we proceed. With Greg, do we continue?
Good moment.
Okay, I'm advised that we break for 15 minutes since we have finished with the numerical standards, which seem to be a little bit difficult. So let's be back 15 minutes from now. Thank you.